96.9 Boston Talks.
Oh, it's Friday morning. Favorite part of the week. How you doing? I'm Doug Meehan. This is the Doug Meehan Show. If you'd like to join us, we got Dr. Karen Ruskin on the line, and you can ask her questions in regards to how to handle sexual abuse or allegations thereof, or at least how to talk to your kids about that. It's been in the news. You can't get away from it. Our number is 617-822-1969. Dr. Karen, thank you so very much for joining us this morning. It's been way too long.
My pleasure. You know I'm always available for you, Doug.
Well, we are so thankful for it. Let's get to it. Just an ugly story coming out of Penn State, but certainly not a new story. There have been allegations of sexual abuse and adults abusing children sexually since the beginning of time. So, but this puts it in the spotlight again. And I guess for starters, with it being all over the news and parents can't get away from it and their kids may be at least exposed to it on the news, how do parents talk to their kids today, right now, about what they're seeing on the news?
Right. Well, that's a really great question. I'm so glad you asked. Parents do need to talk with their kids about it. Not be afraid that if they share this information with their kids, that their kids will be afraid and have nightmares. Sometimes parents are afraid of that and therefore won't share very important information. Rather know that to be forewarned is to be armed with valid and healthy information, meaning talk with your kids about what you're seeing on the news. Share with them about that there are people who actually have mental illness. Talk with your kids. Explain to them there is a term called pedophile. Pedophilia is when a grown adult does interact sexually with a child. And talk with your children about that. If you ever feel uncomfortable in a situation with an adult, if an adult ever asks you to do something sexually, touches any part of your body, that there are boundaries, it's unacceptable, and even if they threaten you, never to not tell, to talk and tell your parent, tell your teacher, tell anybody who's close to you, and if that person doesn't believe you or do anything about it, then you tell somebody else, never to keep it inside.
Well, that's such an important point, and a lot of people do have that question, especially when they're hearing this story coming forward, that why isn't it that children do feel comfortable enough to come forward to their parents or someone of authority to tell them that something might be happening to them? And I want to play some more sound for you and for our listeners, Dr. Karen, so they can hear from one of the moms of the alleged victim and why their son didn't come forward earlier with this information.
Sure.
Why do you think your son never told you?
Well, I think it was a lot of embarrassment. He was letting me hints to figure it out. And I did eventually figure it out.
And when you finally did have the chance to have a heart-to-heart with your son years after the relationship first began, tell us about that. What happened?
We had a discussion where, you know, I had said, you know, if, you know, maybe we should have, you know, come to this conclusion earlier. You should have told me. And he was like, well, he said, I didn't know what to do. I just didn't know what to do. And you just can't tell Jerry no.
He felt stuck. He was just a little kid.
Yeah.
You heard there, he felt as though he couldn't tell Jerry A no, and that he felt uncomfortable, the alleged victim in this case, coming forward to his parents. Why is that?
Right. Well, that's a very normal reaction for kids to feel like they cannot tell the actual perpetrator no. You would think that the kid feels confident to say no, and there are kids who do. But some children, two reasons. One is like a deer in headlights, where literally you freeze when something is happening to you that's so outside of the box of norm, and you just don't know what to do. Or the second piece of this is that some kids, they look up so much to this person that they're confused about what this person is doing. They don't know how to make sense of or digest or comprehend what's happening, so they wait it out, and then something happens again, and it's confusing, and something happens again, and they don't know how to make sense of it, and then at that point, they don't even know how to articulate that it's continuing to happen, and that's why I'm a huge believer that We must educate our children at a young age what's unacceptable and acceptable behavior, and talk to them that if anything happens under the unacceptable category, to come to me immediately. And by teaching our kids that early, what happens is if they end up being in that percentile of children that have an experience like this, they already will be armed with how to handle it.
We're talking with Dr. Karen Ruskin, who's we're trying to digest all that has happened in the wake of the sexual assault scandal that's happened out there at Penn State. And we will take your calls, because you can call in and talk to Dr. Karen with your questions at 617-822-1969. The one that I had real quickly, you mentioned that the victim in this case, or in these cases, can have that tendency to freeze and,
yeah,
and not understand what it is that's happening to them. Let me ask you that. With that in mind, let's go to this McQuarrie guy, the assistant coach who's 20-something years old, 28 years old, who allegedly witnesses this action of Sandusky assaulting this this child in the shower sexually, yet many are saying that he did not act in the correct manner, where he didn't strike out against this coach or do something more, and there seems to be a lot of anger that's building towards this witness. What is it about the human psyche that doesn't allow that person in that moment to act?
Yeah, this is a really powerful case. And what happens is, within a person, we have a repertoire within us of different ways that we act when we're faced with a situation that is shocking to us. We have, in this case, you look, there's this assistant coach, and in any scenario, you have the person who's, let's say, beneath, right? The assistant coach is now beneath.
The power structure is what you're talking.
Yes, the power structure indeed, Doug. And when you see somebody interacting in a way that is so outside of anything you would ever even think that person would do, for some people, they immediately seek out help. They act out. It's a reactive response of saving others. And for other people, for some you confront the wrongdoer, and for some you go to somebody higher up, and for others you immediately go to the highest level. Think about in any work environment you're in, we have reactive responses. How to make sense of who we are and why we are the way we are, that runs very deep into the underbelly of our souls. So we don't know
what situation that person might be dealing with within their own mind, or what their own past may have led them to act or not act in that moment. We don't know, whether or not he had been abused or something along those lines. I'm not making excuses, obviously, but I'm trying to, open up opportunities for us to digest as to why wouldn't that person act when many others, like Rick Santorum, said that he'd run in with a baseball bat and open up the alleged accuser's head,
Right. Well, it is interesting how we all have a different reactive response. And you're right that it's not about making an excuse. Actually, the hope is that any of our children that are in an environment where somebody is taking care of them, you hope that the people who are the adults there are going to make decisions that are safe and save our children and protect them emotionally, physically, and sexually. And yet, not everybody who is in and out of our children's lives, when faced with something of trauma, reacts in a way that protects our children. And it's very frightening indeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's scary all the way around. Dr. Karen, you're ready for a couple of calls?
Sure.
All right.
I would love a couple of calls. That'd be great.
Let's get out to David. He's in Bridgewater. David, thank you for dialing up the Doug Meehan Show. What's your question for Dr. Karen?
Well, I was abused a number of times when I was about 9 or 10 years old. I never really told my parents about it. This guy was a friend of the family's, and my parents thought that he was the best thing since sliced bread. He got married, and I got married. He was about 10 years older than me. And I've always, whenever the subject comes up, like the priests and all that, it just, something about it bothers me so much. And I'd like to do something about it before this guy goes to the grave.
Meaning coming forward with some type of allegations or charges towards him?
I'd like to write him a letter, I think would probably be the best thing to do. I just don't know, if I'd be liable for slander or...
How to come to terms with it within your own soul.
Yes, I'd like to get it over with.
David, thanks a lot, and thank you for sharing your story. Hang on the line there. Go ahead, Dr. Karen. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, really what it sounds like is, and what happens for the overwhelming majority of somebody who's been abused as a child, is that that wound remains within you into adulthood. And it sounds like that this caller, as I'm sure many who've been abused, are still struggling with, how do I move past the pain of my own wounds? And when something happens to somebody else, like he said, it brings tears to his eyes. He wants to do something because he wants not only emotional closure for himself to be able to move onward and heal the wound of his past, but he's also very angry, I'm sure, as anybody would be, that somebody dares to act in a way in which they have. Really, of course, you must know that as a psychotherapist, my belief goes towards somebody going for counseling to be able to receive help with what are some techniques he can use. And as far as writing a letter, I'm not a lawyer, so I wouldn't know how that would affect him legally. I can talk therapeutically, yeah. And that letter writing, it's not just who you write to. It's rather sometimes a therapeutic technique is you write a letter for yourself. What is it that you want to say? How you feel? But usually a therapist helps you through that process because there's certain components that could be included in a letter that can help you heal. Oh, no, you don't forget. Certainly not. But there's a difference between healing and remaining constantly in suffering versus remembering and being able to move forward.
David's not alone here because whenever these types of stories and come flooding in on our television screens and newspapers, there are those voiceless, quiet victims that still remain out there. Maybe not for the Penn State case, but their own cases. And you got a person like David, who's been, you know, suffering in silence for most, if not all, of his adult life. And sometimes adults are very hesitant to seek out counseling because they feel it's something that they did wrong.
You know, that's true, and I'll tell you, when adult men as well as adult women come into my practice, whether they're meeting with me or one of my colleagues at our office here in Sharon, it really is embarrassing for them. They feel embarrassed, like there's something that they did wrong, but the fact is that they did not do anything wrong. The person that did this to them, there was something really wrong with them, and being able to come to terms with that and work through that is imperative, and it's never too late to talk to somebody and get help for abuse that was done to you long, long ago.
Hey, David, thanks a lot again for your call. What I'll do for you is I'll put Dr. Karen's information on our website and on the Doug Meehan Show Facebook page, so if you just want to talk to somebody for starters, it may be a really good step. I think that is what I'm getting from you, Dr. Karen, that it's best to, for starters, seek some type of counseling, talk to a professional that can work you through what would essentially be the first step to healing.
Thanks, Doug. Yeah, no problem. Please, whether it's the child who has been through it and they're still a child, or whether they're now an adult after having gone through that. Definitely seeking out help. Mm-hmm.
We're talking to Dr. Karen Ruskin. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist. She's helping us wade through the muck and the mire that is child sexual abuse. And we're taking your calls as well. Kathy is in Quincy. Kathy, thank you for calling. What's your question for Dr. Karen?
Oh, hi. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Thanks to both of you for taking my call. I don't know if it's a question or a statement, but what I'm really thoroughly concerned about and dismayed with is the collective consciousness of the college students down there that they're not seeing what happened to those, you know, to the victims of, you know, of that, you know, the assistant, like, football coach. That's like, how do you get that point across to all this, you know, to this, you know, next generation that's coming up, that this was such a terrible, like, wrongdoing, and it affects people for the rest of their lives.
Kathy, you bring up such a great point that, you know, folks were rioting in the streets to support and anger over Joe Paterno losing a football coaching job, whereas where was the outrage and anger when the things first started to surface about the abuse of these of children? It seems as though, why is it, Kathy's asking, why is it that the students, their perspective seems to be slightly off here?
Yeah, you know, the students' behavior is really symbolic for exactly what happens within a family dynamic when it has been reported that a child is being sexually molested by somebody that they know. Usually it is by somebody that they know, whether it's a coach or a priest or, you know, an uncle and so forth. Step parents and so on. And what happens is when the child does report it, often family members will not really hear the reality that that's happening. And that's why also some children are so afraid to report it, because they feel like their voice isn't going to be heard. So the collective consciousness that Kathy's, you know, referring to with regards to the students, again, just really symbolic for what happens with some people in the family, rather than looking at the victim, really seeing, oh my God, look what has happened to this child, and how this child is going to be impacted, not just in the now, but for the rest of their lives. Rather, they're viewing the person that they know and not really being able to believe or even fathom or even enter the reality that this person that they know has wounded somebody so dramatically, it is hard for a person to even see through that lens.
It's because it's the person that they know, and they can't relate to the person that they don't know, i.e. the victims in this case. They may be moving in a different direction, both for you, Kathy, and for other listeners. From what I understand, the students on campus tonight out there at Penn State are going to hold a candlelight vigil, because again, the spotlight of the world is going to be back on Penn State campus tomorrow with ESPN and all that they've got going on with their college football Saturday and whatnot. Kathy, thanks a lot for the call. Really do appreciate it. Let's go to Dan. He's out in Worcester. Dan, what's your question for Dr. Karen?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I guess I have a comment as well as a question. They might be the same. I'm not sure. But my children, I have three grown-up children now, the wife and I, and they were small kids right around the time Adam Walsh was abducted and murdered. And, you know, that was a big thing at the time. The wife and I were very cognizant of our children and kind of like really watched over the situation, not to the point of distraction. They had normal lives. But I guess my question is, how did these children who were abused out there at this college, how does an adult have access to a 10-year-old for a period of time where this could take place? In other words, we wouldn't let our kids out of our sight for at 10 years old. We knew where they were.
Dan, if I could interject for just one second, you're aware that most, if not all, in these cases, the child was at a camp for disadvantaged children that this Sandusky guy set up.
I wasn't aware of that.
So what happened was, even though Coach Sandusky was let go or he had retired or he stepped down from Penn State, Coach Paterno and the college and the university gave him a key which allowed him access to the football facilities, to the athletic facilities within the campus there at the University of Penn State. And, by the way, this is while he was not an employee. So he had set up this camp for the kids where the parents were letting the kids go to this camp. And, by the way, Coach Sandusky was going into the schools and pulling kids out of schools because the parents had essentially given some type of permission based on the alleged trust that was set up with this coach and that camp.
Unfortunately, and it is an unfortunate situation here, I can speak for myself and myself only. I wouldn't send my kid to a camp or a facility where they were away from us from an overnight setting ever.
Yeah,
because you know what? Like my old dad used to say to me, and he's from the old school, way back when, trust nobody. And you know what? You can't trust anyone with anything that has to do with your family. That's just life.
Great call, Dan. Thank you very much. And Dan leads us to a very sad point, because trust is such an important thing for human beings to be able to get to that point. Normally, Dr. Karen, we would be sliding off into "Are you serious?" and have a little bit of fun here. But I think that this is such a serious topic, and we haven't talked to you in a while, and there are people that still have questions for you, and including myself, regarding the mind of the predator. If you don't mind hanging on, we will take a quick little break. We'll continue with our listeners' calls and see if we can kind of understand how they are able to get into the minds of these children. Dr. Karen, thanks for hanging on. We'll take a quick break. I'm Doug Meehan. This is the Doug Meehan Show.
Jim and Marjorie, mornings 7 to 10. Doug Meehan, now. 96.9 Boston Talks.
96.9 Boston Talks. I'm Doug Meehan. This is the Doug Meehan Show, and we're lucky enough to have Dr. Karen Ruskin with us this morning, just filtering through some of the noise and trying to understand how we get to these points with child sexual abuse cases. Of course, it's exploding out there at Penn State and has been doing so all week, and we've been angry about it. We've been trying to get our heads around it. So Dr. Karen is gracious enough just to spend a couple of more minutes with us. She has a very busy day, so we won't keep her long. But Dr. Karen, I kind of wanted to try to understand how the predator works. How are they able to victimize these children, A, without getting caught? And why is it such a surprise to those around them when they do get caught?
Okay, so let's look at both.
Kind of a complicated thing. Yes. Sorry about that. First thing first.
I know we're trying to squeeze it in really quick in like the 2 minutes we got left with me. Let's get it in fast.
That's right. So the predator, the mind, how does that mind of a predator work?
So the mind of a predator, quite frankly, they are ill. I mean, really ill. And most predators have had some type of deep traumatic experience that has happened to them, and many of them have been abused themselves. Not all, but many of them have. The way in which they're able to go about this without getting caught is that they are able to tell, because they are quite manipulative in their way, sociopathic in certain ways, where they can tell which children are more the types that they can
be victimized.
Yes. Yeah. And so what's so sad is in this case, we know that these are already underprivileged, disadvantaged children that are more likely to be able to be victimized. Mm-hmm. And the way in which they're able to go about doing this is because people are trusting them and assuming trust. Now,
because they're in this position of power.
Yes, yes, they're in a position of power, and it's so sad. I mean, it hurts me greatly. Let's take a look. So did we address both of them? How are they able to do it?
And why is it such a surprise to those around them? You know,
right.
Hear people saying, he seemed like such a great guy.
Well, that's the thing. You see, a pedophile and often a sociopath, they have such a wonderful presentation. They have two sides of them, the side that many of us see, and we assume they're so wonderful because there is the side of them that presents, and then they have this other side that is so dark, so deep, so blackened. And we as humans are surprised when we find out that who we thought was what we thought is not reality. So our entire reality, who we thought this person was, gets compromised, and that's very shocking to us because we think we know people. We look at someone and we think we can tell this person's evil, this person's nice, this person's mean, this person's sick.
Yeah.
And so when we find out this person is actually ill and has done horrible things, we are very surprised.
Yeah. Dr. Karen, thank you so very, very much. I know you've got to run, but, you know, hopefully we helped a few people along the way here. I'm going to post your information on the Doug Meehan Show Facebook page, so if people want to get a hold of you and if they have further questions, I cannot thank you enough. It was a great service to a lot of our listeners. As always, a pleasure.
It's my pleasure. Anytime, Doug. Thanks for having me on. Love to help.
All right. We'll call you back again. Unfortunately, these types of stories do present themselves. That's Dr. Karen Ruskin. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist. She's our go-to person when we try to understand what is happening in this world in regards to situations. Two things we've learned from this. If you are or have been a victim, seek help, no matter what kind of help. Go to a professional. Don't feel ashamed by it. Go to somebody that can help you, because it's just an awful thing to have to go through life with those open wounds. And you can get on that road to recovery, to heal. And second of all, if you are a parent out there, talk to your children. Don't be afraid to talk to your children and use this story that we're talking about in the news today as a platform, as a springboard for that conversation. I think it's important. All right, I think we've handled this story the best that we can all week.
96.9 Boston Talks.